Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette, just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
A naked man has few secrets. A flayed man none.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Team.
It's on right now.
Oh, hi. I'm Hollywood Steve. You caught me relaxing in my music nook. From 1976 to 1984, the radio airwaves were dominated by really smooth music, also known as yacht rock. These yacht rockers docked a remarkable fleet of number one hits, and every song has a story behind it. Let me tell you one.
There can never be what she wants to be. She's gone. She's gone. Oh, I better let her face it.
Happy post Mardi Gras, everybody. Hopefully everyone's celebration was good. It was a little chilly, but it was sunny and dry, most importantly. All right, hopefully everyone had a safe one out there. Yesterday, got a chance to do a little parading, spotted by Mark Forman, put on social media, which is all good. All right, great show for you today. Lots to go over. Some stuff we forgot on Friday and some stuff happened in the last couple of days. We are live in the 237 Roof Studios. And, of course, you can give us a call. 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. You guys ever have buyer's remorse? I get buyer's remorse all the time. Cars, TVs, jobs. When I make a big purchase, because I don't want to feel like I've been taken advantage of to begin with. And although I'm actually going on, Cody, if you can believe the 7 years with this car, that may be a Schultz record because I needed to keep on ticking. I'm always trying to find out if I got the best deal. Did I get the best deal for the car? TV, did I get the best bang for my buck? If you want a TV that's 70-incher, you know, you can go get it for under $1,000 these days. All right. But I always have buyer's remorse. Jobs, same thing. And for the same exact reason. The last job I had before this was at the Ocean Reef Club in North Key Largo, and opulence is too small a word. It's a different world. It's a fantasy world. I felt like I didn't belong. Now, I was there for 2.5 years, so pretty good. But when I got there, I'm driving up to work first day, and I thought I made a mistake. What about here? Same thing, right? We know what the mayor wants to do with University Avenue. Same thing on I-49. You come off of I-10 and you go through I-49 before you get to the airport and make a right. You know, you're wondering, what world am I in? And by the way, you know who had buyer's remorse? The guy who had the job before me. He was here for 3 months, maybe. And so buyer's remorse is tough to deal with. Right? Buyer's remorse is, it goes away. The TV that I got, love it. In fact, I don't think they make as good as TVs now as the TV that I got. So hopefully that keeps on going. All right. Job I've had here, I'm you know, probably on a record here. 5.5 years for one job. Pretty good. But what you don't usually get to do, and what the guy did, you know, before I got the job, was see that maybe the grass is not greener on the other side. And I'm specifically talking about Anthony Davis. He's got to see everything that we're seeing, right, with LeBron James and the Lakers. Think about what the Lakers offered the Pelicans. And you still got Lakers fans saying, you know, they should have taken it. Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball and a couple of guys not even on the team anymore. And they're not winning with LeBron. They're going to win without LeBron? Oh, you... If you're just on Twitter, you can see all the projects that he's doing. He's not shy about it. He's got TV show this, TV show that. He's producing 2 Chainz music. He's got a lot going on. And then he comes out and says, you know what, the other guys aren't as dedicated as I am. And this is what AD wants to do? What about what Kyrie Irving is going through? And he says, I don't really want the fame. You know, I just want to play basketball. Well, you could have gone, you could have done a lot of other things and play sports and not be famous. And didn't he make a movie? Isn't he in a movie? Meh. Is it Uncle something? Uncle Drew or something? So we'll see what happens, right? I don't hear Paul George. You know who I don't hear complaining? I don't hear Paul George complaining. Anyone hear Paul George complaining? He went from Indianapolis to Oklahoma City. People are talking about him as an MVP candidate. I don't hear him complaining. LeBron's complaining. Kyrie Irving's complaining. And don't we see that Anthony Davis is seeing this? See how hard his team plays without him? You think he's a little bit hurt about that? They beat Denver and Utah, both down big time. They've beaten Houston without him. Oklahoma City, I think he played in that game. But he's really only playing 21 minutes, right? He starts, plays some in the first quarter, a little in the second, and then a little in the third, and that's it. And then when he sits down, they start playing well. What's the chance? And so, okay, what are the chances that Anthony Davis realizes, you know something? The grass is not greener on the other side. I'd still give it a 50-50 chance that he gets traded to the Lakers. But if he doesn't, he's not going to get on the Lakers until the 2021 season. How much is LeBron James going to be invested in the Lakers winning then? Do we think Kevin Durant is going to the Lakers? Do we think Klay Thompson is going to the Lakers? Who wants to be part of that mess? I don't know. We'll find out. Is Kyrie Irving going to go back with LeBron James? He's been there, done that, didn't like it the first time, and that was Cleveland. Now, I don't think he's going to change his mind. I really don't. But somewhere along the way, if he starts to have a heart-to-heart talk with Dad and his family, and he starts thinking, you know what? That doesn't look like very much fun over there. It doesn't look very much fun in Boston or New York either. I mean, when they say small market, this is it. What, you got 2 newspapers, Cody? Maybe 3 if something trickles in from Mississippi? Right, you get the Advocate and the Times-Picayune. That's it. That's all. What do you got, 4 or 5 TV stations in New Orleans? And then maybe a few others from Baton Rouge, but how often do the Baton Rouge TV stations go down there? For maybe a big ball game and the playoffs. Playoffs! Anthony Davis has got it pretty good right now. Or did before he wanted to demand a trade. I still think he's going to go. But he has that rare opportunity to see that the grass is not greener before he goes. I didn't really have that chance before I got to Ocean Reef, even though I did interview there. What do you think? I was going to come all the way here and pack up and go home? Now you can actually return cars. You know, they give you, some places give you like a 3-day deal or like a week deal, which is like an extended, you know, test drive, which is much better than test driving a car for 15 minutes. But very rarely do you get to see how the grass looks before you go. And AD says he's all about winning. I don't think LeBron James is all about winning anymore. LeBron James got a lot going on. And I think LeBron James, I don't think LeBron James is being all Tom Brady's going to play till 45. I really don't. I think he's done after this contract. He's logged a lot of minutes. Think of all the projects that he's got on the side, and what's the one project that Tom Brady has? The one project Tom Brady has is TB12. That whole project is for him to be able to play to 45. That's what his project is, and he's got his little shady trainer there, Alex Guerrero. But his whole side deal is, how do I help my body become more flexible and more elastic, I guess, to get me to play to 45. Whereas LeBron James, movies, producing, TV shows. I got a lot going on. Doesn't sound like basketball is a top priority anymore for LeBron James. And it will be interesting, Cody. You know, I heard Jay Williams say this. I've seen other people say this. LeBron James is all of a sudden going to sit once they can't make the playoffs. Now, it's about a five. They're 5.5 out with 18 to go. LeBron James is going to come down with like a, you know, oh, he re-injured his groin. He's going to come down with some excuse, and all of a sudden he's sitting for 2 weeks. And the NBA is going to say okay to that, but not to Anthony Davis sitting. Again, I don't think it's going to happen, but very rarely do you get a chance to see what it's like on the other side and how manipulative the Lakers have been. Jeannie Buss comes out and says, we didn't do anything, please. They started this mess. They're in the mess. I would say they ruined the Pelicans season, but guess what? The Pelicans are exactly 500 since this mess started. The Lakers are 10-14. They have tanked the season. They were two games over 500. They're now under 500, and they're going nowhere. They were two games out of the playoffs. They're now 5.5 back. Since LeBron James has come back after the All-Star break. Or since, I should say, they're 10-14 since the mess started. I think that's right. Anyways, what do you guys think? Will Anthony Davis see that the grass is not so greener? Then all of a sudden, what do you need? You re-sign Elfrid Payton? I'll tell you, there's some slim pickings in the free agent market. The high end is pretty good, but no one thinks Kawhi Leonard's coming here. No one thinks Kevin Durant's coming here. Right? I don't even know if they can go get Kemba Walker or if they should. But can you go out and get Harrison Barnes? That's kind of what they need, that small forward, even though he's not that small. I'm looking for that number three guy. Right? Can you sign Elfrid Payton? It's only a one-year deal this year. He's been banged up, but when he's been on the court, he's been really good. Been really good. All right, give us a call. What do you guys think? 706-0111. 706-0111. Will Anthony Davis see that the grass is not greener on the other side? He's got to see all the hypocrisy that we're seeing, right? He can't be blinded to it. All right, lots to do here. Craig Calcaterra coming up from NBC Sports. Talk a little baseball. How about this one, Cody? A little conflict of interest, but Jessica Mendoza has been hired as a special assistant to the Mets. She's still going to do the Sunday night broadcasts, which seems a lot. But, of course, you can imagine all the grief that she's getting and the Mets are getting because she's a woman trying to, you know, figure out baseball as if, you know, she can't tell you, you know what, the guy's got to hit the cutoff, man, just like any man can tell you, right? All right, Chris Blair, we'll see if he'll join us. LSU's got Florida tonight. Brian Bannamy will keep on talking about this Pelicans mess and the NBA mess. Chris Gordy will join us as well from Houston and New Orleans. All right, lots more to do. Cajuns with a victory. And you know, we talked about LSU's pitching woes. It can turn around fast. We'll talk about that next on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. All right, so the trailer for Game of Thrones came out, and I meant to start watching it from the beginning, like over the weekend, and I watched Band of Brothers for the umpteenth time instead. So I started watching, I guess yesterday, I saw two episodes. All right, and that explains a lot when you don't see the first two episodes. I think I got into it at the Red Wedding, Cody. All right. So that's the end of season three. I've been watching it since then. So I only have three seasons to catch up on, and this is coming out in April. I can do that fast. All right. A couple things, though. Salami from The White Shadow is the director in the first two episodes. He may have directed the whole first season, for all I know. Tim Van Patten is his salami from The White Shadow. I guess also Hayward is a big-time director. And they said the director at the time was big on these guys doing more than acting. Is that, I can't think, Bruce Paltrow. Paltrow's dad, or Paltrow. Bruce Paltrow was the director and the producer, I think, of the show. Also, Aquaman is in the first couple of episodes. And I think he was in the episodes before I knew who he was. Wolves, he was a vampire. That's where I found him. You knew him as a wrestler, Cody? Is he a wrestler?
Who? Aquaman?
Yeah.
No, he just looks a whole lot like...
Oh, he just looks like a wrestler.
Yeah, okay. Him and Roman Reigns could be the same person.
Body doubles, yeah.
They really could
That's
be.
Right. That's right. Roman Reigns doesn't have those crazy blue eyes, though.
Right, body doubles was a very good way. Like,
right.
They're not one for one, but I mean, man, from behind, good luck.
Yeah. He just eats and, has fun with Daenerys. We'll just put it that way. All right, spoiler alert.
He's living his best life.
He really was. Yes, he was. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline live in the 237 Roof Studios. Again, if you think AD will see that the grass is not greener on the other side, you're welcome to give us a call. I blogged about it as well. So that's on 1037thegame.com. Meanwhile, Cajuns with a nice win, which is now 3 in a row. 3-1 yesterday. Sebastian Turo becoming the clutch hitter on the team. All of a sudden, they've gone from 1-7 to 4-7. But let's do some math here, Cody. We did
some
math.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
What's that?
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
We got math. We got math for the Cajuns, and I got math for LSU as well. I mean, the amount of time that I spent looking for the plus minus for Trey Waters, I could have done it. I really did it in 5 minutes. But the Cajuns' math is even more impressive. Their ERA after their series against Sam Houston State was over 5, like 5.08. It was 35 earned runs in 62 innings. In their last 41 innings, they've given up 5 earned runs. So now that's 103 earned runs in 40 innings. 3.50 ERA. Their ERA has dropped a run and a half. Their bullpen issues were solved, and now their overall issues were solved. All right, if Gunner can start to go, 6 or 7 innings, Dalton Horton has been doing pretty well. Austin Perrin seems like he's okay on Sunday. Jacob Schultz, no relation, he pitched 5 innings of one-run baseball yesterday, 5 1/3 innings. I got to go back and look at the play-by-play, Cody. That seems to be pushing it. The guy pitched 4 1/3 innings on Friday. He got 5 innings. He's given up 1 base hit. I'm just not a big believer in the whole, let's send him out there and see if he can get out of it. Then put Brock Batty in there, and he's already in trouble. But that's pretty good. Right? All those runs against Maryland on Friday were all unearned. Those 4 unearned runs don't go against the ERA. Gave up 3 runs in 14 innings. That's obviously not too shabby. And then he gave up 1 run on Saturday in game 2. And then he gave up 1 run on Tuesday to Nichols. So we were talking about LSU and their pitching woes. It can change fast, right? I mean, to Sam Houston, lost 7-5, 9-8, 9-2. A lot of those were unearned. But 7-9-9. Texas, good game, first pitching game. Opening day was pretty good, 3-1 in 10 innings. Can't complain about that. But then you lose 6-5, and even in the game that you won 8-6, and maybe fortunate to win that one as Texas leaves the bases loaded. You've gone from a 5.08 ERA, 5.08 to it's actually a 3.49 ERA, and you're rounding up to get to 3.5. Not bad. They get McNeese tonight. Then they get Loyola Marymount. Do we know who's pitching tonight? We'll find that out from Robe today. But what a great job by Jacob Schultz and Brock Batty and Michael Lomont, who apparently is now the closer, picks up his first save. Brock Batty kind of gets the vulture win there, Cody. Jacob Schultz, 5 1/3 innings, 1 run, 2 base hits, a walk, and 6 strikeouts. They didn't walk anybody, by the way, Saturday, and maybe Sunday, too, or Friday. I don't think they walked anybody against... I'm not sure they walked anybody against Maryland.
Use a little of that, a little of that across the basin.
How about that? Yeah, that's true. Brock Batty, 2 2/3 innings, 3 base hits, 2 walks, 5 punch outs, and Michael Lomont strikes out the side in the ninth. Talk about taking the pressure off the defense. Pretty good there. And against Sebastian Toro, 2 more runs batted in. He had the big 2-run base hit in the eighth inning. Is he leading the team? Is he leading the team in RBIs, Cody? Going to be very close. Handsome's got 7. LaHare's got 6. Maybe not. Where is Toro's got? Toro's got 5. Toro's got 5. All right, Hunter Castle's back in the lineup as well. All right, we can also talk LSU, by the way. No pressure there, Zach Hess, but Pulmonary basically says you got to hustle up and get good. I give him 2 more starts. It almost sounds like Pulmonary is only going to give him 1. And that's this weekend against California. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But we'll do basketball next. LSU, big ball game tonight. We'll have it. Pregame show right here on 103.7 The Game, 5:30 at Florida. Scary, scary game. Scary game. They need to win this ball game. All right. They need to solidify themselves. They're a 2 or 3 seed. And after what we saw last night from Duke, I'm not so sure that they're that unbeatable. I mean, I know no Zion, and we'll see if Zion comes back. Krzyzewski says probably for the ACC tournament. But again, I don't know about the transitive property, but, you know, Virginia could not miss against Syracuse. They were better from 3 than they were from the free throw line. But Syracuse played probably their best game of the year at Wake. I think at one point in time, either up by 28 or 30 points in the second half. They couldn't have played a better second half all season than they did against Wake. Wake almost beats Duke. That's crazy. New bracketology, Joe Lunardi has LSU as a number 3 seed in the same bracket as Virginia. Michigan State, the 2 seed. All right. They win the regular season, at least tie for it. And get to the semis, meaning they win 1 basketball game, and they'll be a 2 or 3 seed. They went out. They got an outside shot as a 1 seed. All right, back after this, we'll talk LSU basketball, 103.7, The Game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. You know, throw this up there. We'll talk about this later. I had a good shut up Dave poll question. All right, we're going to presume... And Charlie Casserly came out and just ripped Kyler Murray, a new one from the NFL Network, former Redskins GM, Texans GM, and so on. And he just said Kyler Murray had an awful interview. But it's also come out yesterday that apparently the Cardinals are shopping Josh Rosen, the Hebrew Hammer. Oh, my gosh. We're just going to put that. This is an assumption. Shut up, Dave. Poll question, Cody. All right. And I think it's a good one. All right. Presuming, not assuming, but presuming Kyler Murray is taken by the Cardinals, number 1. Who's with his team longer? Kyler Murray with the Cardinals, Bryce Harper with the Phillies. Shut up, Dave. I think it's going to be Bryce Harper, but we'll see. All right. 706-0111, 706-0111. We got Anthony Davis on the table. Does he think that the grass is greener on the other side? Because it's clearly not. It's clearly not. But go ahead and go play for the Lakers and see what a disaster that turns out to be. Who the Pelicans get, I do not know. All right? Well, if Davis leaves, now you need 2 guys. If Davis stays, and you just need the number 3 guy, right? You got Davis. You got Julius Randle. You got Drew Holiday, Alfred Payton. I mean, can you go get Kemba Walker? Is he going to come here? Yeah. I don't know who you're going to go be able to get, not to mention who you're going to be able to draft. Also, the Cajuns with a nice 3-1 win over Nichols. And The ERA has dropped a full run and a half, even more than 1.5 runs since they were over 5 a week and a half ago. It can change quickly for LSU the same way. Mikhail Hilliard pitching tonight against Holy Cross. But again, due to the basketball game, we'll carry the basketball game, not the baseball game. Also, LSU's being a bunch of wimps, by the way. All right. They have a 3 o'clock ball game, Cody, on Saturday. 2:30 pregame show. 3 o'clock ball game against Cal. They're not offering it on the network because they're concerned that that broadcast is going to roll into the basketball broadcast, which starts at 7. I'm being a little wimpy, if you ask me. I mean, if you're not rolling the dice somewhere along the way, it's not really worth it. Yeah. A 2:30 baseball game? I mean, I guess it could go 14 innings, but it's something out of the ordinary. 3.5-hour game, post-game show, in and out. But we'll have the basketball game for you against Vanderbilt instead of the baseball game against Cal. No, well. We will have the baseball game Sunday morning, 11:30 a.m. All right. 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Talking about basketball game, LSU plays Florida tonight. 5:30 pregame show, 6 p.m. A tip-off. Hopefully we'll have Chris Blair here in just about an hour. Again, more math for you, Cody. I got more math.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
We have more math. We do. All right. And again, I complained about it, and I did an extensive search. Websites I'd never been before, websites I probably shouldn't have been before. I probably have, you know, viruses on the computer, which I am sending back. Finally, they said, you know, we need to see it. I mean, if I was in Baton Rouge, I would just take it there, and you know, but they're going to send it off anyways. Why do I need to go back and forth? We could just use the mail process, right? All right. And I got the backup computer anyways. So against, I'm presuming Trey Waters is starting tonight. We're going to make that presumption. Trey Waters back in the starting lineup. We get it why he wasn't the last two games, but...
Right. I would think so, yes.
Okay. So I figured out on my own his plus-minus. And I am not a plus-minus expert. I know how to figure it out. Kind of comes from hockey. How many goals are scored when you're on the ice versus when you're off the ice. It's actually... That's not it. It's how many goals are scored for you when you're on the ice and against you when you're off the ice. So defensemen obviously might not have the best plus-minus, especially if you're on the penalty-killing team, right? So you got to take that into consideration. However, now it was really easy because from what I saw, Trey Waters came in, and this is off LSUSports.net, off their play-by-play, the Mickey Mouse Network play-by-play didn't have the subs. This one has it in, sub in, sub out. Trey Waters played most of the first half, 15 minutes and 12 seconds. Came off the bench. LSU leading 10-7. They were leading 29-28 at half. So that's actually a minus two. He played the rest of the first half, what I saw. All right? The problem is he came in at 16-19 of the second half, and LSU was up 37-33. They fell behind 49-43. That's a minus 10 plus minus. Minus 10. He's already at minus 12. Then it turns around. He comes back in at the 6:16 mark, and they are down 56-53. He goes out at the 4:32 mark, so it doesn't even play 2 minutes, and they're up 60-59. So that's a plus 4. Then he comes back in at the 2:14 mark. They're up 3, and he leaves at the 42nd mark. They're up 5, so that's plus 2. Still a minus 6 for Trey Waters. Again, not a plus minus expert. I just know, and it appeared that way, especially that minus 10. They were rolling. They were up by 4, and then all of a sudden he leaves, and they're down by 6. He goes out of the ball game, and they make a little bit of a run. Though he does come back in, and he was plus 6 when it counts, I guess, in the final 6 minutes. So we'll keep an eye on that moving forward. But this is a seeding game, folks. This is plus revenge for earlier in the year. You know, Florida came into here and took care of LSU. You know what I want to see? I do want to see a solid 40 minutes. But But what I don't want to see is Trey Waters just jacking them up thinking they're going to get offensive rebounds. Because that's somewhat of his offense. It's one thing if he's going in for a layup and he puts it high off the glass and it's going to go in. But sometimes he's going in there wildly like someone's going to get a rebound for this. Although that's what happened against Kentucky, right? Isn't that what happened, the tip-in against Kentucky? And that's what Will Wade said. You get it on the glass, you get it on the rim, and you can get a rebound.
Was it Trey Waters that put the shot up? Regardless if it was him or that's definitely how the game ended, was on.
Right, on the tip-in.
Yeah, Big B Williams came in late, right? Or was that
Skylar Mays?
I could be thinking of a different game Big B Williams got.
I don't know.
Skylar
Mays is the one who put on the glass, I thought. Didn't he step out of bounds? And then where they got it?
But isn't the Kentucky game the one where they had to do the whole review?
Yeah.
At the end? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought.
No, was it Emmett Williams or Big B Williams who tipped it in?
Right. That there's the question, right? It's one of the Williams for sure. I feel like it's Cavell, but I've been wrong quite often
right,
before.
Right. Let's see if we'll play it here. Skylar Mays is the one who put up off the glass and it hit the rim, and it was Big B Williams.
But the point is still the same.
You put it up there
and you get a rebound.
Right. But, you know, it's one thing to do it with, like, you know, a few seconds left to go. It's another thing to do it consistently in the middle of a game. So I'm going to be looking for that for Trey Waters. I love the idea that it's an early game. And we got a lot going on tonight. Right? We got LSU basketball right here on 107 The Game. You got Cajuns baseball at McNeese. LSU baseball hosting Holy Cross. Mikhail Hilliard back in the rotation. And I wasn't listening. I probably should have been. To Tiger Rag. But did you see this, Cody? I mean, Paul Maneri says some things that it's time to step up. If you're Zach S. And a couple of things that does not help his cause at all. Paul spoke of a sense of urgency around Zach Hess' final non-conference start. I'm not going to give up on him. He's got this weekend to prove to everybody that he should be in the rotation or a leader on this staff.
A lot riding on this next start for Zach Hess, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it does. We're still hoping he can put it together and be more consistent, Moran wrote of Maneri. But we're also running out of time. The SEC schedule begins in a week, and this will be his fourth start. And I think there's a sense of urgency this weekend for him. He needs to go out there and show he can do what I believe he can do. But we also have to deal with reality, which is what I said on Monday. The quicker they figure out that Zach Hess is not, I said, a starting pitcher, but in this case, a Friday night starting pitcher. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't really have a solution. And I know what's going across the basin is, if you're going to take him out, who are you putting in? Yeah, that's not my problem. That's Paul Maneri's problem, all right? Paul Maneri's paid to find the Friday night starter. My job is to tell you Zach Hess is not the Friday night starter. A little bit of a cop-out on my part. I get it. Here's the problem that does not help Zach Hess's situation. I think he likes the pressure. I think he thrives under pressure. I just think he has, get this, a difficult time sometimes repeating his delivery, so his control is not consistent. That's always been the reason people think he's more a reliever than a starting pitcher. Don't you have to be able to repeat your windup consistently? I don't get it. That does not help his draft status. Also, by the way, Cody, remember when I was talking about, you know, the Landon Marceaus and the Jaden Hills and the Cole Henrys would be, you know, getting ready for probably low A ball, right? And Aaron Nola, by the way, scooted through minor league baseball, right? A year and a half. Like after the, he drafted in 14 by the All-Star, but just after the All-Star break, 15, he's in the big leagues. All right? How good was Alex Lang? Right? Remember how good Alex Lang was? No, not so good. 3.5. Forget about the record, 6-8. He had a 3.5 ERA in high A ball. That's the Carolina League. It's only going to get tougher from here on out. You look what Aaron Nola did. And he didn't really struggle until he got to Triple-A. He's got like under a one whip in some of these things, right? He's got like a 4-5 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Alex Lang doesn't even have a 3-1 strikeout to walk ratio. We'll see. I mean, it gets tough. It gets tough real fast. All right. So lots going on tonight. Anyways, lots going on. All right, the Mets. And we'll talk to Craig Calcaterra about this from NBC Sports after the top of the hour. The Mets hire a woman as a special assistant to the general manager. I mean, the Mets are, I don't know how much out of the box they're going, but they have taken an interesting turn in the front office. Back after this, 103.7 The Game. All right, our first Shut Up Dave poll question of the day. We haven't even spoken about it. But presuming Kyler Murray is taken by the Cardinals with the first pick in the NFL draft, who is with their team longer? Kyler Murray with the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, that is, or Bryce Harper with the Phillies? So far, 86% Bryce Harper. 14% shut up. Kyler Murray, nothing. I voted Bryce Harper. At Dave, 103.7 The Game, at 103.7 The Game on the Twitterverse. All right, so the Mets, excuse me, as we're talking a little baseball here. I mean, we're only like 3 weeks away, Cody. All right, we're only 3 weeks away. Have you set up your fantasy league where you know the rules, then don't tell anybody what it is? Like, the guys on your team, home runs count for two, and everyone else is count for like a half run.
I have come to admit this will probably be the first season where, at least in the last like five, that I won't do fantasy baseball just because I'm that guy in the league that like falls off midway through and doesn't anything, and then at the end of the season I try to come back and
try to do
stuff.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And I don't want to do that to the league, because the league I was in, they actually tried. I felt bad for them.
The league that was supposed to pay cash didn't have playoffs. It really screwed it up. Why, we don't know. So the guys who were in it didn't want to do it again. Of course, they're just frightened of me, because, you know, I'm doing post-Louisiana Open interviews and drafting at the same time. I did the microphone in one hand and the phone in the other. And somehow I finished fourth. Hmm. 706-0111, 706-0111 on the ARCO equipment hotline. So the Mets, by the way, the Mets have hired Jessica Mendoza. Let's get the correct term here. It's, I think, a special assistant. Mets hire Jessica Mendoza as baseball operations advisor. This is a Newsday.com. So that's a Long Island newspaper. Jessica Mendoza has been named baseball operations advisor for the Mets, the team announced Tuesday. The announcement came one day after the Mets brought on former pitchers Al Leiter and John Franco as advisors to the general manager, Brody Van Wagenen. All right, earlier this offseason, David Wright was also named an advisor as his playing days came to an end. They got more advisors than they do starting pitchers. Mendoza will focus on player evaluation, roster construction, technological advancement, and health and performance, the team said. She will also continue in her role as an analyst on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. That seems to be a little odd. Probably shouldn't be doing both of those things, but okay, if she gets the okay. Here's the first thing. You know, people can't say she's not qualified to do it, because you know what Brody Van Wagenen's experience is? Being a general manager with a baseball team? Zippo. Nothing. He's an agent. He was an agent. So he may have experience on, you know, dealing with teams and dealing with players and dealing with agents and contracts. He was the head of CAA's baseball division. In 2016, Van Wagenen became the baseball agent for Tim Tebow. Now he's kind of his boss. First he was an employee, now he's the boss. So, I mean, the Mets are really out of the box when they're coming to doing the hiring. The John Franco and the Al Leiter are cliche. But it's amazing on, you know, everyone crushing the Mets on the Twitterverse for hiring a woman. And, of course, I couldn't believe it, Cody. It came up even. how many people want the Pelicans to hire Becky Hammon. 35% said yes, 35% said no. I mean, that to me, that's 50-50. So you can't go all out and crush the Mets for hiring Jessica Mendoza when the actual GM has no experience whatsoever of running a franchise. He's got contractual experience, that's for sure, being on the other side of it. But he's never run a baseball team. That's nuts. In 2013, Van Wagenen negotiated a $240 million 10-year contract for Robinson Cano. Now, it'll be interesting to see how the Mets do. We'll take talk to Craig Calcaterra about that from NBC Sports just after the top of the hour. I like the idea of trying something new, trying something different, right? Who are the Mets that have this long winning tradition? Not really, no. No. Right? They've been to the World Series four times off the top of my head, Cody. Right? 69, 73.
Nice.
86. Got it. Oh, four times. 2000.
Right. There's that one modern, if I'm going to call it modern, year that they made. I don't remember.
Well, they just made it.
Right. That's what I don't remember what year exactly. Is
it 14 or 15? Whenever the Royals, the Royals beat the Mets.
Right.
So the Royals made it and lost to the Giants. So it's got to be in an even year.
Right.
So it's got to be 14.
That was the Giants.
Right. Because if the Giants won, it was odd. Right.
For like the 5 years running.
For 5 years. They've won on the odd years.
Right.
Right. So it's got to be 14. All right. So they've been to the World Series five times. Twice this century. They're the Mets. Just like Eitan Shander said, you know, how many times do you expect the Phillies to win? He's like, well, you know, they're still the Phillies, right? They're not going to turn into the, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox overnight, right? The Cubs still, they won their World Series. They haven't been even back to the World Series yet. Meanwhile, win it. I like what the Mets are doing, all right? We'll see if the Pelicans follow suit. That would be going one step further, though. All right, Craig Calcaterra from NBC Sports. We'll talk a little baseball with him next on Acadiana Sports Station 107. The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game. Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super genius.
It's on right now.
Oh, Douglas, your fantasy is finally coming true. We are going to meet with a boy band.
Very funny. Not even close. No. No, the puerile sounds of boy bands are poison to my ears. And the only antidote is Steely Dan.
Ah, you like yacht rock.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker.
You'll be on your knees tomorrow.
All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Yacht Rock Wednesday morning sports chat. We're live in the 237 studios. All right, we'll take your phone calls a little bit later on. We'll see if Chris Blair joins us 7:32 to preview the LSU basketball game tonight at Florida. 5:30 pregame show right here on 107 The Game. Let's talk a little baseball, shall we? Baseball season is, I think, like 3 weeks from tomorrow. We'll find out that in a second here. Craig Calcaterra from NBC Sports joins us on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Is that right? Does this thing start 3 weeks from tomorrow?
Actually, technically a little earlier than that. We've got that series between Seattle and Oakland in Japan, I think next week.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, wow. All right.
I mean, I don't count that. It still feels like spring training because all the other spring training games are going on.
Right.
But, yeah, real games that count.
Yeah, but if I got to do a fantasy league here, I got to get that done.
Yeah, you got to get your roster set. Yeah. And, you know, you got to get Ichiro on there because he's going to be on the team and he's going to go like 0-for-12 and then retire. But hey, possible a stolen base for you.
Well, there's no way he's retiring on and out. We all know that, right? He's going to John Cruckett. He's going to get a base hit and just walk off.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Derek Jeter, John Kruk. He's got to go off into the sunset, especially since he's doing it in Tokyo.
That's right. There you go. Perfect. All right, so let's talk about this. Your initial reaction to the Mets hiring Jessica Mendoza as a special assistant to the baseball operations dudes.
You know, it's fine. I know Jessica Mendoza creates a lot of angst among a lot of male baseball fans for reasons that, I hate to call names, but it's sexist for the most
sure.
part.
You
you can like her as a broadcaster or not like her as a broadcaster. And frankly, I don't like any ESPN baseball broadcast if I could help it because I just don't do that. But, you know, she is totally fine in that role. She has a lot of experience, at softball at a very high level, which, you know, you talk to baseball operations people, they will tell you there are far more applicable insights and lessons to be learned between high level softball and baseball than most people think. And obviously she interviewed with the Mets, she spoke with their front office baseball operations people, and they think she's qualified. So, hey, I have no problems with it as far as her getting the job. I have some issues with the kind of conflict of interest we see in broadcasters and baseball teams. That's not limited to Mendoza, though.
Well, first of all, I'm going to stick up for my boy Vasgersian because I've known him a long time, so I will do that. Second of all, though, doesn't she have more experience at this than, say, you know, the general manager of the Mets?
Yeah, he's an agent. I mean, Brody Van Wagenen, he played college baseball at Stanford, but he was all right, but it's not like he was some baseball star. But he's been an agent for years, and if you look at the baseball operations organizational charts for all 30 teams, you won't be shocked if you know anything, but you will find that none of these people are baseball players. None of these people have years and years of experience or went to college to learn how to run a baseball team. They're analytics geeks. They're former writers like me.
Right.
There are people who were math people. There were people who were exercise science majors. Jessica Mendoza's qualifications to work for a baseball team are better probably than, I'd say, 85% of the people who actually work for baseball teams.
Are you telling me that Gene Michael didn't come up with launch angle?
Hey, he played the game, man.
By the way, you can use that line. That's a good one. Now I see she got the job the way everybody gets a job. She got a job because she knows Van Wagenen. He's a Stanford alum. She's a Stanford alum. She was a client at CAA. She got the job just the same way everybody else gets a job.
Oh, exactly. It's totally about connections, man. I have a friend. I'm not going to slander him. I'm not going to say anything bad about him because he's a good guy. But he works for a Major League Baseball team south of the Mason-Dixon line, I will say.
All right.
And, he got the job because his brother knows a guy. That's how he got the job. And he does a good job. I'm not going to lie about that. He does a great job. That's how everybody gets their jobs.
Most likely, yes, especially in baseball. It runs wild. It does run deep. In fact, that's the way I got a bunch of my jobs when I worked in minor league baseball. Somebody knew somebody that knew somebody, of course. Yeah, no doubt about it. We're talking with Craig Calcaterra, NBC Sports. I know you're the baseball guy, but this is somewhat of a baseball question, though it's football combination. I put it out there, and we're presuming Kyler Murray is drafted by the Cardinals. Who's with their team longer, Kyler Murray with the Cardinals or Bryce Harper with the Phillies?
Oh yeah, Harper definitely. He's gonna have no trade protection, all that kind of stuff. Good for Kyler. I am very happy that he's gonna go. He's gonna get more money, after getting drafted than he would have gotten in his first several years playing baseball, and then he won't get his service time manipulated like every other baseball player does now. It's a very different calculus even now than it was, say, 10 years ago for a two-sport star. But, what's the shelf life of most quarterbacks in the NFL? Not very long.
Yeah, and not very long for guys that are 5'10", in spikes.
Not many Doug Fluties out there.
No. there really haven't been. All right, so I saw this that, Bryce Harper signs, and everyone is like, well, now they're the, leading favorite to win the East. $330 million doesn't go as far as it used to if all they're going to do is beat out the Braves. They got to win the league, right? They got to be in the World Series.
Hey, and don't sleep on the Nationals. That's the other thing people forget. The Nationals upped their game quite a bit in this offseason, and they underachieved last year. They were supposed to be the odds-on favorite. I still think they've got a better rotation than the Phillies have. When you sign a 13-year contract, and it's the same with Manny Machado in San Diego signing his 10-year deal.
Sure.
By definition, you can't judge it on the first year. These are investments teams are making for the long term. Both of these guys are really young. I think the Phillies are my second place team in the NL East with Harper. Yeah, I think the Nationals are first. I think the Braves are going to fall. They won 90 games last year. They didn't get better in the offseason overall. And 90 games is not going to win the NL East this year because everybody else improves. So, yeah, I go Washington, Philly, Atlanta in the NL East.
Where's Dallas Keuchel going?
Man, I don't know. Maybe New York now. They lost Luis Severino yesterday to some rotator cuff issues, and they're saying he's on the shelf for 2 weeks.
Right.
No one's on the shelf for 2 weeks with a rotator cuff. He's going to be out a while. Right. If I'm the Yankees, I go get Keuchel tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see Severino. We're lucky if we see him after the All-Star break.
They just signed him to a four-year deal. Right. You do not want to bring that guy back quick.
Right, no doubt about it. All right, how are the Yankees? I know this. Did I see that the Yankees were favored ahead of the Red Sox? Is that just because of Kimbrel not coming back or something?
I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of previews yet. I'm actually going to sit down this morning and start working on my AL East preview. But if someone has the Yankees over the Red Sox right now, I'm going to ask them what they're smoking. Because, you lose Kimbrel, but the Red Sox are going to be able to put together a bullpen. Although, maybe I shouldn't say that. Dave Dombrowski does not exactly have a track record of being able to cobble together a bullpen based on what he did in Detroit. But let's assume they could figure that part out. Top to bottom, they're a much better team than the Yankees are. The Yankees are great. I don't think they're as good as the Red Sox.
Is that a Bill James thing that they're not bringing back Kimbrel? What's up with that?
I mean, it's a money thing. I get it. I would love to have Kimbrel this year, but all reports were that he was asking for something like $100 million in 6 years, which is ridiculous for a relief pitcher, especially with the miles on the odometer that he has. They probably just can't get it together. I think ultimately Kimbrel's either going to the Braves or back to the Braves where he started his career, or the Red Sox will bring him in once they go 2 weeks and blow three saves and they're like, oh my God, we need this guy.
All right. I was going to say he's maybe be asking for too much money because John Henry, according to the Google search, is worth $2.7 billion. He's got the money.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you know, John Henry owns a soccer team in the United Kingdom. If they had one thing that didn't go wrong for their team, they'd spend $50 million in a second just to fix it. So they'll do that. They'll do that if it happens.
No doubt about it. What about the Dodgers? Are they the favorite out there? Or what's going on? I mean, I presume they are. The Giants. It's an odd year, so where are they in all this mess?
Yeah, Dodgers odds-on favorites, primarily not because they did anything special this year. They got A.J. Pollock, big whoop. They traded away Yasiel Puig. I think that's going to be a wash. Clayton Kershaw is hurt and everything. But the biggest thing there is their toughest competition, that division, Arizona, is rebuilding. They got rid of their best player, Paul Goldschmidt. They're going to have a rough year, I think. The Giants are not going to be good. They're having trouble. Padres are not there yet, but they might be interesting. And, I really don't think the Rockies – made themselves any better, even though they made a big splash re-signing or extending Nolan Arenado. So, yeah, it's the Dodgers' division to lose. They could have really gotten better. They could have made themselves on par with the Yankees, with the Red Sox, and not maybe lost a third World Series in a row. But they're going to win the division. That's probably all they care about because they draw 3 million fans no matter what they do.
Right. Is there an up-and-coming team? I mean, the Brewers, I mean, they're not up-and-coming. They're pretty good.
Brewers are going to be
Reds?
Very, very good.
How about the Reds?
The Cardinals actually improved themselves huge.
Yes.
You know, they've missed the playoffs the last couple of years, but picking up Goldschmidt, a few other things, little things they've done, I think they're going to be really, really good. You're going to see the Cubs crater, I think.
Oh!
And look, San Diego is going to be fun. With Machado there and a lot of young people, if they're aggressive in promoting their guys at the top minor leagues right now, San Diego could be sexy, even though I don't think they're going to be there.
All right, well, it'll be interesting to see if they go out and get any of these other guys that are still available to fill in the rest of the holes. Now that I know that you're up early and you get the extra hour on the East Coast, I'm gonna give you, I'm gonna call you. All right, we'll have you
I'm
on again.
I'm always here, man.
I appreciate it. There you go, Craig Calcaterra, NBC Sports. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, I'll talk baseball all day, brother. We'll talk baseball all day. The Red Sox are better than the Yankees are favored ahead of the Red Sox. Though that was before Severino went down. I'm kind of figuring that. I didn't understand that one. I don't get that one. Have they improved their team pitching-wise? Did I miss the guy they picked up? The Sonny Gray experiment didn't work out. Now I guess they're going to go get Keuchel. I wouldn't overpay him, but they may be in a position where they need it. 706-0111, 706-0111. Again, where we started... Will Anthony Davis see that the grass is greener or is not greener on the other side? I mean, he's got to see everything that we're seeing, right? He sees if he's on the Twitterverse or someone he knows is on the Twitterverse, all you're seeing every time is, LeBron James promoted for his TV shows. Or someone else is pointing out LeBron James dancing to 2 Chainz. Or LeBron James in the studio with 2 Chainz. or LeBron James doing this, or LeBron James doing that. What you don't see LeBron James doing is winning basketball games. And you're seeing his team fall out of the playoff race. Will they be better next year with AD? Although, we'll see if he gets there. Again, if Anthony Davis doesn't get there, he's not going to get there for 2 years. If he's not traded this year to the Lakers for next season, he's not going to get there until 2 years. And we'll see. Which, I don't know. Again, this whole draft thing is happening before the free agents. Though I guess technically these guys may know who's signing where by that time. It'll be very interesting to see how this all plays out. It'll be very interesting. All right. Cajuns with a win. ERA down a run and a half in a week and a half. That's pretty neat. And Palmieri putting Zach Hess on the hot seat, on notice. Step up or else. Again, I wish I had a solution for Friday night. It's not Landon Marceau, right? I mean, he's worse.
Right, definitely not yet, for sure.
Right? Jaden Hill, do we know he's pitching this week yet? I don't know yet.
I mean, obviously, best-case scenario, Zach Hess shows up, improves, and consistently.
Well, he's pitching Friday. Zach Hess is pitching this Friday.
Right, but best-case scenario is he shows improvement, I think, like Maneri said, consistency.
Yeah, Moscona put up his numbers. I just didn't see what he saw. Again, it's two people looking at the exact same thing and seeing something different. And you people, you college baseball fans, much more college baseball fans than I am, you guys have been doing this forever. I just got here. But again, a quality start is not a Friday night starter in the SEC. Three runs over six innings. That ain't going to cut it. Cody, did you see what the kid from Auburn did? And I don't care who he pitched against. Although in this case, it was Cincinnati. No walks, 15 strikeouts. I mean, did LSU do that the entire weekend against Texas? I don't think so. That's a Friday night starter. All right, Casey Mize, Friday night starter. All right, all these teams have Friday night starters, right? We can go back to Jackson State, Friday night starter. We'll go over Zach Hess's numbers. I'll check that out because I don't agree with it. I see something different. He had a good stretch of like three dominating outings. After that, average at best. Back after this, 103.7, the game. It's not in the way you look or the thing that you say that you do. Oh, the light. All right. I heard the song maybe yesterday coming out of the gym. Maybe it was this morning. Days run together. Hashtag humble brag. How long did you sleep yesterday, by the way? What time did you get up?
By 7.
Yeah. What time did you go to bed?
The night before? I don't know, 10?
I went to bed at 10. I was up before.
Yeah, see, not me.
I was at the gym at 5:30.
Slept longer than that.
I did not. I was wide awake.
But I borderline it yesterday. This morning I was like I was getting ready this morning to leave the house. I was thinking to myself like, boy, I'm glad you didn't have that one more beer.
Oh, there
that
you go. One, I was, nice. I didn't have anything to drink yesterday.
I had fun yesterday.
Oh, nice.
I had fun. It was a good time.
Can't you have fun without alcohol, Cody?
I usually do, but yesterday that was not the case.
706-01-11. Quickly on the Shut Up Dave Twitter poll question. Who's going to play longer with their team, presuming that Kyler Murray is taken by the Cardinals? 15% say Kyler Murray. 58% say Bryce Harper. 27% tell me to shut up. All right, so I see these numbers different than others do. And I don't know which one is the start. Oh, there, it says relief. Okay. Ding, 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 ding. It says relief. All right, Zach Hess last year. See if we can do this so it's not mind-numbing experience, right? 8 runs in the first game against Notre Dame. Bad, okay? Then against Texas, he gave up 2 runs in 6 innings. Not great, but better than average. All right, that's better than a third run. He struck out 10, walked 2. That's pretty good. Okay, that's pretty good. Scattered 5 hits. That's pretty good. We'll put that in the pretty good category, all right? Then against Toledo, no walks, 13 punchouts. He gave up 1 run, 6 hits, 7 innings. Outstanding. It is against Toledo. but outstanding nonetheless. So that's two good outings in a row. Against Hawaii, 7 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. Pretty good, right? Even though it's against Hawaii. All right, SEC play. All of a sudden, he gets a little wild. Against Mizzou, 6 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 5 walks is an issue, 8 strikeouts. Not bad, not great. Then against Vandy, not so good. 4 runs, 3 and a third inning. Against Mississippi State, pretty good. Here's his really good stretch last year. Really good stretch. Mississippi State, 1 run, 3 hits, 10 strikeouts. A&M, no runs in 8 innings. Tennessee, 7 innings, 1 run. I mean, that's pretty good, right? So that's almost 22 innings pitched, 2 runs. Pretty good. And only 10 hits. Walks are a little high, 7 walks, 23 strikeouts. That's pretty good, all right? But then he's back to kind of average. 3 runs and 6 innings against South Carolina. And I don't know what the Tigers are doing on the other side. All right, did they crush South Carolina when, you know, he pitched so he doesn't have to go more than 6 innings? I'm just looking at this from a Friday night starter point of view. 3 runs and 6 innings ain't great. That's a quality start. That's a 4.5 ERA. That's average at best. Against Ole Miss, 3 runs, 5 innings. That's worse. Against Arkansas, 4 runs, 7 innings. Not great. Bama, 4 runs, 5 innings. Not good. Auburn, 5 runs, 3 innings. Not good either. So not very good. I mean, these are separated by Zach Hess average after week one. Zach Hess 2018 stat line week 2 through 9. So they're only taking the good. They just didn't, you know. What about the bad? Well, that was not very good. Postseason relief, Mississippi State, 2 runs in 3 innings. That's not very good. Arkansas pitched very well, only gave up 1 hit, 1 run in 7 innings. Against Oregon State, not so much. 9 runs, 8 hits, 3 and a third. All right. But, I mean, Pulmonary is seeing what we see, right? He's not blinded by, you know, he's my dude. They'll figure it out. And maybe you have the opener, if you will, instead of a starter. Maybe go Zach. You know what? We're going to throw Zach has 2 innings. He's going to throw the lights out, and that's it. Maybe you can throw Friday, throw Sunday. There's other ways of going about this than just having your typical Friday night starter. I don't know if you can get him to go 3 innings because then he's kind of used, but at least he's going through the lineup once. You know, you got to think, sometimes you got to think out of the box. And LSU may be in that box right now. All right. I mean, what are you expecting him to do? I mean, is Cal any good, Cody? I don't know. I don't know if Loyola Marymount's any good. I mean, is Cal baseball any good? California Bears baseball. I don't know. Who knows? Let's see. They're 6-4 on the year.
They do have the last year's, if I remember what Raymond said, last year's Golden Spikes winner, though.
Yes, they do. That's right. Cal, yes, so. Yes. That's right. All right. They're struggling so far this year, though.
They got a good player.
Right. They lost to Cal State Bakersfield 4-3. They lost to Pepperdine 7-5. They lost to Northwestern 9-5. They beat Brigham Young, and they beat up on Cal Poly this past weekend. They lost to St. Mary's 10-3, did beat them 13-1. Saturday was postponed. They beat them 9-3. So they have won 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of their last 7 ball games after starting out 0-3. So I don't know. Let's see here. Who's the I saw that award. That do we know his name? Let's see what the box score is. California is. Is it Andrew Vaughn?
He's their first baseman.
Yeah, Andrew Vaughn. Yeah, I just picked out any game against St. Mary's. Had a Duplantis like line, 3 for 4, 5 runs batted in, 2 runs scored. No. All right, so we'll see that. So the Golden Spikes Award winner is coming to Alec Box. Nice. There it is. 2018 Golden Spikes Award winner. All right, so we'll see if Zach Hess steps it up. All right, we'll talk LSU. We'll talk more LSU baseball and basketball with the voice of the Tigers. We'll see if he gets up. He's on the road in Gainesville. And it's an hour later. He's got to be up, right? It's 8:30. It's 8:30-ish. Back after this on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat, 103.7. The Game. The 2019 Chitimacha Louisiana Open is just around the corner. Your chance to register for the ultimate golf tour experience is in the clubhouse on 1037thegame.com. All powered by golfballs.com. Here's what you win. The new Callaway Epic Flash Driver from golfballs.com. You get a chance to play in the 1037 The Game foursome in the Pro-Am. You get a dozen golf balls to use in the 1037 The Game foursome in the Pro-Am. You get the gift bag from the Pro-Am. And maybe more importantly, on top of that, you get the Skybox tickets. Lots of good food, lots of good drink. And it's for every day. It's all 4 days of the Chitimacha Louisiana Open. But you got to enter in the clubhouse on 1037thegame.com. All right, it is the 2019 Ultimate Golf Tour Experience, powered by golfballs.com, 1037thegame, and 1037thegame.com.
If you're searching for something meaningful that will enhance your life, this is not the guy to talk to. Now, back to Sports Chat with Dave Schultz on 1037 The Game.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have...
All right, reminder, we do have STM basketball today, though on the rewind, 97.7 and 13:30 a.m., tip-off 4:30, pregame show 4:30, tip is 4:45. Danny Jones and Coach Stroney will have the call. A big task ahead of Danny Broussard's Cougars to try and take down the number one seed U-High squad. Didn't go so well for Karen Crow yesterday as they took it on the chin to Bossier 67-39. At the end of one, it was 20-6. Halftime, 42-18. Yeesh. Nonetheless, congratulations to Chris Kovach and his Karen Crow Bears, the last year's state champions. And they had a sensational year getting back to the top 28, but just went up against apparently a bigger and more athletic Bossier team. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111. We are efforting Chris Blair. He's probably running. He's probably getting his 5 miles in, running the stairs at the swamp. I've done that, Cody. It's open. Or at least it was when I went. That may have been in the summer. But, yeah, I found my way to the swamp, and I wasn't the only one doing it. No, people were running into it.
I passed through on my honeymoon. On the way home, we went through Tennessee's campus. We got off the interstate in Knoxville. I'd never been.
Okay.
So we were
I
was curious.
That's nice.
And the campus itself is very nice. There was this one area where there's like a walkway, that the skywalk for students
to get
across, and it's got the big University of Tennessee on it, and all the grass was, even though it was cold, the grass was still like beautiful green.
Right.
It was nice. But the football stadium,
right,
as big as it is, it's huge.
Right.
It, the way it's built, and maybe it's older, you know, and I'm comparing it to Tiger Stadium, which has this beautiful like facade on the outside of it and everything.
Right.
It almost looks like, Neil said, it almost looks like it's always under construction. There's scaffolding. The way ramping and whatever is built around, it just looks like scaffolding surrounding the stadium.
Sure.
All the while. And that was my biggest thing. I was surprised because I was telling Kayla, I was like, I'm excited to go see this football field. I've never seen it. It's supposed to be huge. You know,
right.
It's this and that. And it is big, but it's not pretty.
So
no. Yeah, it's not,
no.
It's not really
now,
pretty.
Now, did you stop and have something to eat in Knoxville?
No, we just kind of went through the campus.
All right, because there's that great restaurant right on the river. They tailgate on the river down there.
Right. I did notice there was like a levee.
The Volunteer Navy, something like that.
Yeah.
They all come in on their boats and they tailgate out there.
That's pretty cool.
Before and after. And there's a restaurant right on the river. Maybe one of those tourist traps, but it's okay. I was a tourist.
No, I missed it. We went and ended up going to the Shed. Out close to Biloxi. It's in like Ocean Springs, Mississippi. It's a barbecue joint. It's really good.
I could have given you my tickets. You could have cashed them in for me.
Oh, actually, I saw billboards. I saw billboards for
the Silver Slipper.
I did. I thought about it. I was like,
it is out of the way. It's not right off the highway.
Yeah, you have to like get
this
off
about 20 minutes off the highway.
And then you have to go through like town. Where the Beau Rivage is and like the Hard Rock and stuff. And then you gotta, don't you have to continue past that?
Oh, no, the Silver Slipper's first.
It's first. Okay.
From Louisiana.
Gotcha. So you got to go back the other. Understood.
Yeah, it's from, yeah. No, it's right off of I-10, but it's 20 minutes. It's in town, actually. Right? It's okay. It's kind of like LaBerge. You got to go through town to get to it.
Right.
Both of them, right? Lake Charles and Baton Rouge.
Right. Missed opportunities.
The Biloxi one, that's at the end of the highway right on the beach.
Yeah, it's on the beach. Yeah.
All those are on the beach.
Right.
Yeah. Beau Rivage is... I think that's on the beach, yeah.
Yeah, no, it is.
But there's one before that.
The IP. The Imperial
Palace?
Palace or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's on the highway before.
That's right. Kaylee really wants me to take her in, I think, the end of March.
Oh.
A comedian's going, Southern Mama.
Okay.
He got Facebook famous, basically. Okay. And now he's a stand-up comedian. I mean, he always was
right.
a comedian.
Right.
Facebook got him famous, and now he's doing, and he's pretty funny.
Well, now that you said that, I'm going to give you my tickets.
Yeah, so she really wants me to take her, and tickets are like only $30 to go see this guy, so... Maybe we can get a room for sort of kind of cheap. It's just stay one night, not
right.
go crazy.
Right, right.
But and go because she really wants to see him. And
all right.
Maybe
I got the tickets.
So if that does work out, I will let you know.
All right, good. Plus, we got to go back. Plus, well, now it's too late. You know, we wanted to bet on LSU getting to the Final Four.
Oh, well, yeah, now the odds are probably not necessarily in your favor.
Not as good as they were.
They were, yeah.
At the beginning of the year. Right, 25-1, 30-1.
Right, that $50 bill is not going to yield quite the return.
No, that's right. Not so good. Let's check out what the poll question is. It hasn't moved here recently. At Dave, 103.7 the game, at 103.7 the game. Presuming Kyler Murray is taken by the Cardinals with the first pick, who's going to be with their team longer? Kyler Murray, 14%. Bryce Harper, 61%. Only 25% telling me to shut up. Still that 20% mark. They don't like that question too much. They don't like the question too much. Let's do the other one, the other obvious question that we were talking about earlier. Based on the last, 6 weeks here now, Cody? Based on the last 6 weeks, any chance Anthony Davis sees the grass is not greener on the other side and decides to stay with the Pelicans? Decides to say, you know what? I got it pretty good here. Outside of the winning. And see if you can find that. I meant to get that Adam Silver. Audio, Cody. He's sitting there with Bill Simmons, and this is kind of surprising. It's kind of odd, and maybe it's, you know, a lot of teenagers and young adults and, you know, college, and not to get all high and mighty on this, but college is pricing itself out of the marketplace. You know, there's only so many people who can pay, you know, $200,000 to go to college, $250,000, and then be in debt until, you know, you're 50. You know, some people I've heard say, you know, I'd rather give you go to the community college, take some business classes, I'll buy you a business. You know, a Steak and Shake is doing franchises. You need a $10,000 investment. Go take some classes, go get an internship, and go to work. So it'd be very interesting to see the way this all plays out. I'm not sure the grass is all that greener on the other side. And I'm not sure what my point was with that analogy. I tried to stall and I couldn't come up with it. I'll think about that here in a second.
You're saying that maybe it was that a four-year university looks great and this and that and all that, but you can do just as well for yourself, you know, maybe going through.
Maybe that's it.
A different route and, you know, being... I don't want to say tunneled, but being more focused is the word on a certain...
Well, it depends what you want to do. Obviously, you need to go to school if you want to be a doctor or a CPA. If there's a certain thing you want...
I mean, those are still considered skills, right?
Yes.
Those are trained skills.
Really, I couldn't do what I'm doing. Do I need a college education to do what I'm doing right now?
Alan Maggle. Case in point.
How good is he?
Yeah.
Although he's going back to school.
Right. That's for different reasons.
Right,
but
right.
He still... I mean, he did the job.
He's not a college graduate.
Right, exactly.
He's as good as anybody. That's exactly right.
So,
no, not that big of a deal.
But stay in school, kids, as none of them have school this week.
Well, I'm not saying drop out of school.
Well, no, of course
not. I'm saying
not.
To do something that is
right.
more return on investment.
You never said drop out. That never came out.
And college isn't for everybody.
No.
Right? But you could do, there's better investments to make than maybe a four-year education. I'm just saying that.
In certain aspects, yeah.
So there may be better. Yeah. All right. Anyways, we'll see if Anthony Davis changes his mind. It's been 6 weeks, Cody. He's got to see the mess. He has got to see the mess that...
Could we have a situation where Anthony Davis sees the grass isn't necessarily greener in L.A., but it's still the grass isn't green, to stick with the analogy, in New Orleans?
Well, he could. Oh, that's what it was. Okay. There you go. I totally lost my train of thought. He got me on it. All right. The Adam Silver thing, and it's a bunch of teenagers that have not grown up. So college to me is, that's what it was. College to me is a chance to mature. I certainly did, although some people may claim not. It's a chance to meet other people from all kinds of different backgrounds, depending on where you go, right? Iowa, you may not get that at the University of Iowa, but, you know, I did at Oswego, right? All kinds of different people. And, you know, it's a chance to grow as a person more than, you know, learning how to do a spreadsheet, all right? So Adam Silver is telling people that he thinks that these NBA players are not happy. I'm not sure if he used the word miserable. Cody, can you see if you can find that? Adam Silver and Bill Simmons talks about this. Clay Travis tweeted it out. That's where I saw it. All right. And it's amazing on how that's the case. Now, sometimes these guys get into a situation where you get drafted by one team and you can't win, and the team that's giving you the most money is another team that's not going to win, and all of a sudden you've played, you know, a dozen years, and, you know, winning wasn't really a part of it, but your bank account is full. Well, that's a different story. I went through the free agents. I don't know who they're going to get. Can you go get Harrison Barnes? And obviously, if you're getting rid of Anthony Davis, you got to fill that spot. And I don't know if you're bringing Alfred Payton back. It's an interesting deal. Our Penn State fan here, by the way, Cody. He's got two tickets to Sticks in Biloxi at IP this Friday night. He's willing to pay me less. He's willing to sell it to me for half price. If anybody wants them, I can't go. Well, I can, but I'm not going to go all the way to Biloxi to see Sticks. But if someone's interested, you can get a hold of me, and I'll pass the information along to Joe McHugh at Dave1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game. Or he's on internet on the internet, on the Twitterverse, JJMCMcHugh92. J.J. McHugh, 92. All right? He can't go. But also a Sticks fan. How about that? And at the IP, Cody. We'll see if we can find that. All right? Did you find it?
I'm scrolling through some Adam Silver stuff. He did a lot of hits in the last weekend.
All right. Well, it was all, yeah, one thing. I'll find it. Because Clay Travis tweeted it out.
He's very active on Twitter as well, Clay Travis.
Yeah, but you can go to the tweets and replies. And it won't be that far down.
That's probably what I should.
It'll be a little bit further down. But, yeah, that's crazy. That's what he really thinks? That the guys are miserable? I mean, Kyrie Irving comes out and says, I don't really want to be famous. I just want to play basketball. Well, you were in Cleveland. You got out of Cleveland to go to Boston. You're going to be famous being in Boston. Maybe not so much in Cleveland, right? I mean, wasn't it after the NFC Championship game? Alvin Kamara goes to a restaurant. People stand up, give him a standing ovation, and then no one bothered him. I think that's pretty cool.
Is it Adam Silver talking about social media?
No.
And how it's impacting the players?
Maybe, yeah. That could be it. You want to do that now or when we come back?
Oh, we can play it now if you want.
Okay, let's see what that is. Yeah.
I think there's a few issues going on. One is a larger societal issue. And I know you have a lot of young people who work for you at the Ringer. Obviously, our players are young. We have young people in our office. I mean, I think we live a bit in the age of anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's I've read studies on this. I think part of it is a direct product of social media.
Yes.
And I think those players we're talking about, when I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy.
Yeah.
This is not some, like, you know, show they're putting on for the media. When you get, you know, when you have relations with a lot of players, when I'm one-on-one with a lot of these guys, you know, I think to the outside world, they see the fame, the money, all the trappings that go with it. They're the best in the world at what they do. You know, they say, how is it possible? Like, they could even be complaining. And I hear this on television all the time. A lot of these young men are genuinely unhappy. I mean, some have come from very difficult circumstances. That doesn't help.
Right.
Some of them are amazingly isolated. And you and I have talked about this.
This goes back to Jordan in the 90s.
Right. It's not even the camaraderie that they were accustomed to. I mean, you saw some of the trailer or some parts of this film that we have from Michael's last year on the Bulls. I mean, the camaraderie was incredible. I mean, Michael, like, what people didn't see was, I mean, he and Phil Jackson, obviously, as the coach, deserves enormous credit, but there was, like, classic team building going on all the time. These guys were a band of brothers, you know, on the buses, on the planes, and all the attention only brought them closer. If you're around a team in this day and age, their headphones on, they're isolated, and their head down. Like, as soon as it used to be, I remember years ago Isaiah Thomas said to me, championships are won on the bus. And he meant that. And I disagree. One of the comments from the earlier panelists was, oh, forget those other five guys on the team. Those five guys on the team were critically important, even if they hardly had any minutes. Usually they were veteran players. They were leaders who were able to take players aside in a way a coach couldn't, you know, because they'd lived through it. It was just something that a teammate could do that a coach couldn't, or certainly an owner or somebody or an administrator in the team.
Generally unhappy. Is that possible? I mean, is that a generational thing, right? I mean, all these kids that are on, you know, Adderall or stuff like that. How can they be generally unhappy? I mean, he's right. We see it from the other side. I see it from the other side. I mean, isn't Anthony Davis going to clear like about $500 million before he's 30? Not clear, but, you know. Is that what he's going to be worth or has gotten paid? Right? He's going to get like $500 million so far. I mean, I know money can't buy happiness. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Plus, he kind of works, you know, 82 nights a year. And not even that anymore. All right, we'll be back. We'll put a bow on hour number two as it goes. Flying by. Chris Blair just finishing up. We just got a text message finishing up his six-mile jaunt. He'll be on the call tonight right here at 5:30 p.m. for LSU in Florida. Brian Bannerman at 8. We'll talk more Pelicans and Anthony Davis with him on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7. The Game. We didn't even get to talk about the coming back of 90210, and Luke Perry passes away. They just talked about it. They were all in on this. I think they had to get Shannon Doherty and Luke Perry in 52, Cody. I'm turning 50 in July. He's 52. That's another show I didn't get in on the beginning. I got into it. It started in 90. I got into it like in 92. And then came, you know, Melrose Place. God, 52 years of stroke and then gone.
Right. All I really know about 90210 is the jokes about how all these 30-something-year-olds were playing high school kids.
No, there's really only one of them.
See, I never watched
them. Andrea was. All these of them were maybe a little bit older, but all of them were, slightly older, but Andrea was older.
Right.
But I think they were all young adults. I mean, how old is? I mean, we can figure it out, right? Luke Perry was 52,
right? So 90. That would have been. That was 29 years ago, almost 28 years ago, depending.
Right.
So 52 minus that is late, mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
So
well, 30, right? So almost 30 years ago, right? 10 and so say 30 years ago, right? 10 and 20. So 30 years ago.
Well, I was born in 90, and I'll be 29 this year.
Okay. So then he was 22, 23, 24?
Right. So that's not that bad, really.
No.
Maybe in the later seasons, maybe, but at first, not bad.
No, not bad at all. But our condolences out to that. That's so disappointing. So disappointing. All right, did you put up the other poll question yet?
I did.
All right. I don't think you will. Let's see how you phrase this. Based on the last 6 weeks, is there any chance Anthony Davis sees the grass isn't, I would have had N-O-T in capital, but that's okay. Isn't greener on the other side and stays with the Pelicans? I say no, but
And so does everybody else.
Right, so does everybody else. But he's got to see what's going on, right? Isn't he seeing what's going on? Plus, you got this family thing going on, right? Thomas Morstead and Michael Thomas on the floats. Yeah, one situation where it's a kind of a family over there and not so much on the other side. And Alvin Gentry, you got the Alvin Gentry sound, Cody? Can we play that quickly? This was the win over the Nuggets the other night, I think.
Obviously, they were hurting us on the pick and roll with both guys, with Favors and Gobert rolling to the basket. But, excuse me, I've been in I had a couple of beers. Sorry.
He's burping. Had a little reflux come up there, a little burping action. He's like, so, you know, he thought about it. He's like, you know what? I'm an adult. I can say I had a couple of beers. I had a couple of beers after the game, right? Which is he kind of put the beers down fast because he's out there in 5 to 10 minutes. He does not take, you know, he's no Bob Marlin. He gets out there fast. Sorry, Bob. He's out there 10 minutes after the game or so. All right, 2 hours down, one more to go. Brian Bannery will continue talking with about AD and Chris Gordy. Will join us, maybe talk a little Astros on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette, just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets, place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now. Now.
Lady, $7 for a used Kenny Loggins record? I'll give you $5.
He autographed it himself.
Are you gonna wait for?
Number three of a three-hour Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. Post-Mardi Gras, what are you giving up, Cody? Or do you want to become Jewish for like 40 days? Yeah, money-back guarantee there.
Is that an option? I don't know.
I'm trying to bail you out is what I'm trying to do.
Right, I might have to look into that.
Right.
I did see on the wedding board you signed Mazel Mazel.
Right,
so I did
right,
say, you know, maybe
right.
that's the seed planted.
I noticed you avoided the question.
I haven't thought about it. Maybe instead of giving up something, I am Catholic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead, I need to do one of those. I'm gonna vow to do something.
Right.
And that's gonna be start getting back to work at a better time. I think
all
maybe
right,
needs
that's
to
one
be
thing. All right.
Be a thing. Cause
we'll start tomorrow.
Yeah. I think maybe that's you put
start
me on
today.
The
we'll start tomorrow.
You put me on the spot. And now I maybe just kick.
I saw somebody said somebody I follow on Twitter. He's like, I'm going to give up giving up things.
Right. It's like wishing for more wishes.
Right, right, right. I'm going to give up giving up things. All right. Cole Kubelik giving up social media for 40 days? Goodness. That's tough to do.
Probably going to, in 40 days, you're probably going to come back and be like the.
No, I've seen some people do that, try to give away the phone, you know, just put the phone down and, or just use the phone for, you know, the phone.
Tough.
I haven't figured that out yet. Yeah, yeah. All right, Chris Gordy, 8:32. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. We are live in the 237 Roof Studios. We'll take your phone calls in a little bit. 706-0111. 706-0111. Let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. You survived Mardi Gras there, Brian Bannamy?
I did, man. I usually do because I don't participate too much in the festivities, so
right.
I'm always good around Mardi Gras time.
All right, very good. Did you see Steak and Shake franchises? Can you do that? Did I see you retweet something like that?
I did.
Yeah.
It's actually an interesting opportunity, but one I'm going to have to pass for right now.
Okay.
I don't really want to work in the fast food industry myself. So the investment opportunity may not go as swimmingly as I thought. I don't have the personality for fast food.
Well, those things, first of all, you're hiring a bunch of, I don't know how reliable the employees are, is the one thing. And it's a lot of work. It's just a lot of work, all right, before you see the profits. Although Steak and Shake would be a good thing to have around. I wrote yesterday, and I saw other people talking about this as well, But I wrote yesterday that, you know, I tend to have buyer's remorse. The guy who had the job right before me had buyer's remorse because he left. He was only here for about, I don't know if it was 3 months or 3 weeks, but he bailed. And very often you don't get a chance to change your mind because of buyer's remorse. Is there any chance that Anthony Davis gets buyer's remorse because he's seeing what's going on with the Lakers for the last 6 weeks and figures, boy, I just need like a point guard. Maybe you keep Alfred, and I need a swing man, and we got a team. Any chance that happens?
No.
Right.
And I Shut think up, he's Dave. Too far gone to the point. Yeah, I think he's too far gone to the point of buyer's remorse at this point. I think Anthony Davis kind of maybe in the back of his mind, he's kind of looking around like maybe I made a mistake. But I think he's so far gone in the idea of this is something that I have to do now. I don't think he can backtrack. And I don't even think it's going to play well with his teammates if he tries to. I mean, you can't tell me I suck. You want to go play with the team that basically has the same record as we do. But now you want to stay. I don't think he can walk that one back at this point.
Yeah, but if he signs, he's here. I'll sign a deal in the offseason, right? He can sign this offseason?
That's correct. He can't sign an extension this offseason if he chooses to.
All right. So, his teammates are like, now he's here. You know, he's Bryce Harper. He's here for the long term.
Yeah, I just can't see it. And even if he does, it's the idea of, what does that say about Anthony Davis? It kind of makes him seem like he's more of a flake than we already believe him to be.
You
want out, but now you want in, but you only want in because now you think we can win, but you didn't think we could win before. I think I posted this on Twitter. How many wins is Anthony Davis worth? Because right now the Pelicans and Lakers have the same record.
Right.
And if Anthony had been bought all in, how many wins could the Pelicans have right now? They could probably be fighting for the 8th seed at minimum right now.
Right. But I would tell you, when you're dangling the Lakers to anybody, right, it seems like a better situation than where you're at. You're going to the Lakers. You know, you grew up watching, Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal, and you know about Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and James Worthy and all those Laker teams. And all of a sudden,
you also have to remember the Smush Parker days.
Well, that too.
You got to kind of take that with it as well.
But then you're looking at it and you know something? That doesn't look like so much fun. Right, they're not winning with LeBron James. He's got, if he's on Twitter at all, he sees all the projects that LeBron James is involved with. He sees LeBron James throwing his teammates under the bus. And then he hears Kyrie Irving saying, I don't want to be famous. I just want to play basketball. I can see AD saying the same thing, but you can't do that when you're playing for the Lakers. You're famous because you play for the Lakers.
That's true. No doubt about it. It comes with a lot of the spotlight that maybe that's the reason Anthony said he wanted out. I understand that winning was supposed to be a part of it, but the Lakers haven't won in the last 6 years. So
right. You
can't tell me you want to go to a winning franchise and then say, oh, yeah, but I'll pick the Lakers. I understand him saying Golden State. Heck, I can even understand him saying Milwaukee. But you can't tell me that all 29 teams are on your list.
Right.
And that, that everyone else but the Pelicans, basically, I don't think he can walk that one back.
All right. Well, I agree with that sentiment, but I wouldn't be surprised if he starts walking it back just a little bit. We'll pay attention to that. All right. Having said that, I went through the free agents. I don't know what website it was on, but they were doing the free agents. When Aminu is 40, you're in trouble. All right. Obviously, you're not going to get the top guys. Right, I mean, Kawhi's not coming here. Durant's not coming here. Klay Thompson isn't coming here. Mirotić may come back. Maybe you go get Mirotić. I don't know. But I mean, can you get a Harrison Barnes? I mean, that's the one guy. That's the guy that you need. Can you go out and get Harrison Barnes?
I think it's possible, but I don't think he's at the top of the list because if Harrison Barnes is commanding anything outside of 18 mil per year, and I'm saying it like it's only 18 mil, but if he commands anything more than that, then you're losing because you're going to probably have to pay Julius Randle somewhere along those lines. Drew Holiday is already making 25-plus mil. I think the Pelicans' best bet may be to kind of see whatever you can get for Anthony Davis, keep those contracts nice and small, and then try to dive in once you've proven you can be a better team next year for the 2021 offseason when you can try to see if you can pull a free agent, and then you'll have Drew Holiday, possibly whatever you get from Boston and or New York. And you can build from there because you'll also have free agent dollars. And then if you need to, you can overspend to bring a free agent in. But I don't think it happens as far as a Harrison Barnes anytime soon, especially if Alvin Gentry isn't the coach, because now you have to decide what style of play are you going to go with.
And so you can't go get Tobias Harris, right? Although I guess he's maybe more power forward. I'm not so sure about that. He's like a big small forward.
Yeah, he's kind of a tweener, and he plays that stretch forward type of role. But I don't think you can get Harrison Barnes unless, like I said, unless you overpay for him, because he's not going to leave a city like Philadelphia where you have Embiid, you have Ben Simmons, and possibly Jimmy Butler moving forward, and have that contingency, that group going on. And you're in the East, which is a lot easier for you to win. So I don't think he's going to leave the East to go back West and play for the Pelicans.
We're talking to Brian Bannerman, 100.3 in New Orleans. All right, what do all of a sudden there are a bunch of safeties out there. Tyrann Mathieu, Landon Collins, Kurt Coleman, as it turns out, Eric Weddle, which, you know, has a Patriots signing written all over it. Do the Saints go out and get somebody? Do they need somebody?
I think so. I think they do. I don't think it's number one on the priority list. I think that'd be defensive tackle. And, of course, O-line depth, maybe even tight end, would have to sneak up there in the top three. But I think they need another safety. Marcus Williams kind of regressed. He really didn't show the same form that he did after the Minnesota Miracle. And I also think it's the idea of Kurt Coleman being such a bust that you really have to have that third safety, and yet still they don't know what they're going to do about nickel corner. Patrick Robinson comes in last year. He gets hurt. P.J. Williams was kind of a bust, and then all of a sudden he kind of, you know, catches a light, and all of now he's one of, you know, graded from Pro Football Focus as one of the top nickel corners. But I still don't think that's enough. I think you need a guy who can be a playmaker in two spots. And if you get a guy like Tyrann Mathieu who can play both free safety and nickel corner, well, now you don't have to pay two guys. You can only pay one.
Mm. All right. Well, that'll be very interesting to see. Anything else? What about Mark Ingram? Is he coming back?
I think so. I think the players want Mark back. Right. And unless somebody like a Baltimore or somebody of that nature overpays to get Mark, I think Mark will be back. I think he wants to be back. I think as long as the Saints don't lowball him and offer him pretty much the same contract he had last time, which was about a 4-year contract, $4 million per season, I think if they give him a little bit of a raise, somewhere in the five and a half, maybe $6 million per season, even if it's a short-term deal, 3 years, $18 million, I think that'll get it done, and we'll see Mark Ingram back for the foreseeable future.
See, that's where I say it's not. That's too much for me. Let's see what it was. I thought he was making. Let's see what his salary was. He signed a 4-year, $16 million deal, but Mickey gave a lot of that. He kept on getting the signing bonus, and they kept on giving his salary signing as a signing bonus for the salary cap issue. See, I'm looking at, I'd be shocked if he gets a 3-year, $10 million deal.
I think they're going to have to do something more than that. It's when you have certain running backs in the league, and I mean, they're below the tier of a Mark Ingram that are making more than Mark Ingram, I kind of have a problem with that. And I think for Mark, he's also going to have a problem with it. So if somebody comes to call and like Baltimore who want to use Mark Ingram as a tone setter because they can also use him to go with Lamar Jackson and help him out, I think if somebody like Baltimore offers him $5.5-6 million, he's gone.
Well, that's
so
fine.
I think you kind of at least have to match it.
If I'm the Saints and you tell Mark Ingram, look, Mark, we're like the 3-year, $10 million deal, when, you know, plus or minus a little bit. But if you can go get the, you know, 4 or 5 year deal at $20 million, go do it, you know. Go get it.
Oh,
go
no
get
question
the money,
about it. You know. But you also have to take in consideration how the Saints look the first 4 games of the season without Mark Ingram. I think that's going to play heavily on them.
Yeah, they can go get another running back, though. They'll find another running back. All right. I appreciate it, my friend.
No worries, Dave.
What's New Orleans like the day after?
Lots of cleanup, lots of people doing exactly what you guys were opening the show with at this segment, which was getting their ashes for Ash Wednesday. And then, going over to Lent.
Right,
and for Lent,
right.
I'm not going to give up anything. I'm actually going to increase my slander for Anthony Davis.
You're the best. Brian Bannerman, public_B_enemy on the Twitterverse. He's quite the Twitter follower. Probably not suitable for work, so don't spit it out what he's saying. But he's funny, and he's entertaining. I appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Dave. Take care, man.
All right, Brian Bannerman, 100.3 in New Orleans. He's direct on the Twitterverse. We'll just put it that way. All right. I don't see Ingram getting more than 3 years, $10 million from the Saints. All right. That's what I would do. That's what I'd offer him. 3 years, $10 million. Jake from State Farm says the same thing. All right. If he thinks he's gonna get a raise from 4 years, $16 million, God bless you, go get it. If the Ravens go do it, because when Alex Collins got into a car wreck. If you can go find more than for a 29-year-old running back, you're going to give him more than that? Let's see if we can find that out here. We'll be back. More sports chat after this. 103.7 The Game. right, a little programming note tomorrow. We have to carry the LSU women's basketball game against Tennessee. That's at 11 a.m. So it'll interrupt Rome. But we do have to carry that based on our LSU contract. STM today on the Rewind, 4:30 pregame show, taking on U High in the top 28. Karen Crow came up empty yesterday, took it on the chin to Bozier. Congratulations to Chris Kovach, though, the defending state champions, 4A state champs, for getting back to the top 28. And I'm just going to say this, Cody, I'm not going to get into a big discussion about this, but when the Karen Crow Bears broadcast sounds better than the Division I college baseball team, you got an issue. Just saying. I mean, it was clear as day. And it was on Z. It was on Z1059. And you got a high school basketball game that sounds like we're in 2019 compared to a college baseball game that sounded like I was doing it in 1996. Just saying. Just saying. All right, running backs in the NFL. So this is not cap hits. This is their salary, all right? So where does Mark Ingram belong in here? All right, Shady McCoy, off-the-field issues, $6 million. David Johnson, injured, more than $5.5 million. Melvin Gordon, $5.5 million. Lamar Miller, $5.5 million. Todd Gurley, $5 million, and he's got arthritis. That doesn't get better, by the way. Deion Lewis, $4 million. Ingram, probably better than him. Isaiah Crowell, $4 million. Ezekiel Elliott, $3.8 million. Devontae Freeman, $3.7 million. I mean, but none of these guys are that old, right? I mean, Shady's got to be older. Shady is 30, all right? But when did he sign his contract? Right? Let's see. He signed a five-year, $40 million contract, including a $13 million signing bonus, $18 million guaranteed. He signed it in 2015 when he was 27. Ingram's not getting that. Ingram ain't getting that. I wouldn't. If the Ravens want to give it to him, okay. But I can't give it that, all right? David Johnson signed the big-time deal, but he's been banged up. Melvin Gordon, he's relatively young, 4 years, 25-year-old. Yeah, I mean, he's a first-round pick, 15th overall, 2015. I mean, he's still kind of on the rookie deal, I guess. Signed a four-year, $10 million deal, including a $6 million signing bonus, $10 million guaranteed, annual salary of more than $2.5 million. This is the back end of the deal. He's an unrestricted free agent next year. One, two, three, four. Oh, so maybe this is a one-year deal. I just can't see Mark Ingram getting more than that. Again, here's 3 years, $10 million. Maybe 3 years, $12 million. That's still $4 million a year. That's a lot. That's a lot for a 29-year-old running back. But I'd be willing to pay him a little bit more than I should, just a little. But if he can go get a four-year, $16 million contract or a four-year, $20 million contract at 29, go get it. Mark, all the best. You know, not quite as great as player as Willie McGinnis, I'd say, but, you know, the Patriots told Willie, hey, if you can go get paid, go get paid. You know, you'll always be a Patriot, but we can't afford you. All right? You deserve more money. Go get it. And he did. But does he think? Here's the other thing, if you're Mark Ingram. You think you got a better chance to win with the Ravens or the Saints? Where do the Ravens rank, right? Didn't the Ravens lose a home game to the San Diego Chargers? I'm sorry. Los Angeles Chargers? They lost to the Los Angeles Chargers at home. Chargers didn't make it, or the Ravens didn't make it a game until the end. I mean, where do they, right? I mean, Chargers had a better year, right? Chargers, Chiefs, Pats. I mean, you're going to put Colts, right? Where the Ravens rank? Fifth? I mean, in the NFC, you got Rams, Saints. I mean, Cowboys, maybe, right? depending on what the Packers do. Who else, Cody? Seattle? That may not be quite as good as they once were. Again, it'd be very disappointing if Mark Ingram goes, I wouldn't blame him, but it'd be disappointing, if he goes for a few more $1 million, you know, instead of 3 years at $10 million, 4 years at $13 million, that'd be disappointing, all right, from a selfish point of view. But if he gets 4 years, $20 million, go to it. You know, if you're pulling in $5 million compared to our three, or maybe three and a half, you betcha. But he ain't going to win with the Ravens. He's not winning with the Ravens. Not next year anyways. Ravens are rebuilding. They got a new quarterback. The Saints, again, are going to be all in, right? They got the guy. They got the one guy. They're going to be all in again, all right? And at the same time, as it turns out, and I'm obviously not paying attention to the Ravens as much, but they seem like they're cutting Weddle, right? Running back issues with Collins. Terrell Suggs may not be back. Whereas the Saints have all those young guys. Kamara, Lattimore, Von Bell. Eli Apple's on a rookie contract, right? They just signed Demario Davis to a free agent deal. He's not going anywhere, right? We'll see where Jordan goes. You got Davenport and Richardson? Sheldon Richardson? No. Who's the Louisville guy? When he from Louisville?
Sheldon Rankins?
Rankins. Sheldon Rankins.
Florida State, right? Or
I thought it was Louisville.
Maybe it is. You're probably right.
I could be wrong. No, Louisville.
There you go.
Yeah. So you got a lot of young guys. Now you're going to have to pick and choose. I don't know if you're going to be able to pay them all. And then you got the two offensive linemen, right? Pete and Ramczyk. But it's a nice balance of youngsters and veterans. Boy, if you could go land Tyrann Mathieu, oh, goodness, goodness, goodness gracious. You're in good shape. So we'll see. If he leaves for a couple more $1 million, it'd be disappointing. You know, I'm offering him 3 years, $10 million. That's it. If it's three and a half, $11.5 million, I could do that. That's the most. If he can go get the same contract, 4 years, $60 million, go ahead. I can't afford that if I'm the Saints. Not on a 29-year-old running back. I appreciate the loyalty, and I appreciate everything you've done. But if you can go get more money, substantially more money, but if you just go sign a three-year deal for $13 million, and it was a little bit of a money grab, I wouldn't blame him, but I'd be disappointed. Because then it's really not about the winning. It's all about the money, which, again, I don't have an issue with. Just don't tell me it's about the winning, okay? AD, you can't tell me it's about the winning when you're going out to the Lakers, because it's really not. Because they don't win. They haven't won in recent memory. And if they had done a better job drafting Jason Tatum and others, you'd have that deal would have been done already. He'd be on the Lakers. But I don't know why you're trusting the Lakers. And I don't know why. And Ozzie Newsome's leaving. Now, I wouldn't be jumping ship to the Ravens that fast if I'm Mark Ingram. We'll see where that goes, all right? Is that the one free agent signing they got to get done, Cody? I think it is, right? And they want to sign Thomas to a long-term deal, all right? And that's going to be big money. No way around that. All right, back after this, Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790 in Houston, joins us. Let's talk Astros, 103.7 The Game. Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you. All right. We'll get to Chris Gordy on the Arco Equipment Hotline momentarily. Let's check out the Twitter poll questions. At Dave, 103.7 The Game, at 103.7 The Game. Presuming Kyler Murray is taken by the Cardinals with the first pick in the NFL draft, who is with their team longer? Kyler Murray, 18%. Bryce Harper, 57%. 25% tell me to shut up. Based on the last 6 weeks, is there any chance Anthony Davis sees the grass is not greener on the other side and stays with the Pelicans? 72% say no. Only 4% say yes. 24% telling me to shut up. Let's see what the next guest has to say. Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790. in Houston and 1280 in New Orleans. Good morning, Christopher. Happy post Mardi Gras. How are you?
Yo, what's up, Dave? Loving this Arctic weather.
Yes.
It's absolutely miserable.
Well, I mean, it wasn't. I mean, it was sunny. It was, you know, it's all about the layers, Gordy. It's all about the layers.
It's just, it's insane because Mardi Gras started, it was warm and it was like 70s. You're like, hell yeah. And then Mardi Gras Day was just absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I've been here six Mardi Gras. Every Mardi Gras is either cold or wet. I would take the cold rather than the wet.
True. True, yeah. This was the first year in forever that Endymion I went to in New Orleans was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Bacchus rained, so is what it is.
I would tell you that I did go to the parade route yesterday, and the wind was coming from my left or something like that. I hid behind a building, right? I like the building to take the wind, right? I was in the sun, but I'm not standing on the parade route where the wind's going to blow on me. I'm going to no wind on me.
Who's that creepy guy peeking out the parade from behind that building?
Right? Well, I mean, I was on the street with the building, and you know, I was just behind a bunch of people. All right. Any chance? I've been talking about this, buyer's remorse. I always get buyer's remorse, but very rarely do you change your mind because of buyer's remorse, though the guy who had this job before me did. He bolted. Any chance that Anthony Davis is looking at the Lakers and getting buyer's remorse, changes his mind?
Maybe with the Lakers, yeah, but I mean, I think he still wants out of New Orleans for anybody to think that just because the team has started to play, you know, play well, and Alvin Gentry, I think, is doing a heck of a job coaching this team the last couple weeks. I don't think there's anything this team can do that's going to make Anthony Davis go back on his decision. I mean, the decision's already been made. And now, his future, his immediate future becomes a Pelicans decision. Where do the Pelicans get the best trade offer? That's where they're sending him. So this whole thing where Anthony Davis tried to dictate it or Clutch Sports or whatever, I think he'll have that decision to make when he becomes a free agent. But that's the whole thing here is you're not a free agent. You don't get to decide where you go. So, that's the Lakers situation to go as sideways as it has. I mean, this is pretty nuts. I mean, LeBron, the thought was always, man, LeBron, you could put him on any team and he could get them to the playoffs. And finally, that rang not true.
Yeah, it's amazing how the Lakers and Lakers fans were all telling you should have got these guys while you could have. A, they'll still be available come the summertime. And B, they're not very good with LeBron. How are they going to do without LeBron?
Yeah, that was the whole point. And I said that when the trade proposal came out. I said, you know, Brandon Ingram, if he had taken that next step in his career, which I believe this is his third year in the league, you're a top 10 player. You should be, you know, we should really start to be seeing signs of something special from you. And we're seeing a very good player, but we're not seeing a special player. Lonzo Ball in year two hasn't really shown a whole lot of growth. He's got good court vision, good assists, but can't shoot. And then Kyle Kuzma, another one who's just a nice player. So if I'm not getting a potential for star potential to trade, I'm not doing it. Or you know, at least a top 10 draft pick. And none of that was what the Lakers are offering. So I'm the Pelicans. I keep all my options open. Obviously, number one is Boston and Jason Tatum. That still is something you want to get. But from what we're hearing out of Boston is if Kyrie Irving jumps ship, I don't know how Boston can legitimize trading Jason Tatum, who's one of their best young players. I think they're best to keep him. So I think the Pelicans, there's going to be a ton of offers, but I think it's going to be a team that nobody's talking about just yet.
Here's the problem with that whole deal is that draft happens before free agency. I know people will think that the free agency is done before the draft, but officially it's not. So that makes timing a little tough for everybody involved.
Yeah, but all the, you'll hear rumblings, right? I mean, Kyrie, once the season ends, you'll hear from Kyrie Irving and his folks if they're staying at Boston or not. So, you know, you'll hear from Kevin Durant whether or not he intends to go to New York. So I think a lot of those rumblings will be out there. Teams will have a pretty clear idea. But, yeah, if you're the Pelicans, again, I think it's just all about maximizing your return. And, you know, hopefully they have a GM in place by the time that happens.
Talking to Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790, 1280 in New Orleans. Let's talk some Astros. Do we have this rotation rounded out yet or what?
Not quite yet. It's one of my big concerns. It's funny. I made the exact same argument about LSU baseball a couple weeks ago. I said, look, I know everybody's hyping this team up and they're number one. And I said, the pitching, you know, concerns me because Zach Hess, I said, was not a number one guy. And in my opinion, I think he's a very good pitcher. But we saw that come to fruition this past weekend. Now I have the same feelings about this Astros rotation. I feel good about Verlander and Cole, but what happens if one of those guys misses a significant period of time? You're really going to take a hit, and it's really weak after that. I mean, we took for granted that Charlie Morton is the number three, Dallas Keuchel is the number four, and those guys were both really good. I mean, Charlie Morton had one of his best years ever last year. So I think you're asking a lot for Colin McHugh to step in and fill that role. You're asking a lot for Wade Miley to step in and fill that role.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, again, yesterday I'm hearing all the odds makers, oh, LSU or Astros far and away going to win the AL West. They're going to have no competition. They're going to run away with it. I'm going, well, let's pump the brakes here. I mean, Oakland kind of came out of nowhere last year. Well, you never know with the Angels. So the Astros aren't getting dynamic pitching or fantastic starting pitching like they had last year. I think this team won't be as good as people think they're going to be.
Are both these young guys? I mean, Josh James is in the rotation, right? Forrest Whitley is not yet, is he?
No. So Forrest Whitley, they're going to wait to call up because of
the money,
service time, and all that.
Right.
So you won't see him for a while. I think he's got the stuff. The big thing with him is he only pitched like 50 something innings last year because he got suspended. So he's got a long way to go before he gets to the big leagues and pitches significant innings in the big leagues. The other one is Josh James, who they shut down last week because of a quad injury. And the good news is it's not super serious, but it takes him out of the rotation battle right now. So the other options that they had, Brady Rogers was one. They just optioned him back to the minor leagues today, so he's not going to be the option. So it's seeming like Framber Valdez could be the guy. He's one of the young guys who came up last year, really impressed. Or Brad Peacock, who was obviously a guy who started a lot 2 years ago when they went on their World Series run. So they have some options. It's just you're a little bit limited right now.
Talking to Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790 in Houston, 1280 out of New Orleans. Where do you think Dallas Keuchel is going to end up? Yankees, all of a sudden?
You know, there was some rumblings last week that Atlanta really wanted him. The Braves were willing to go out and pay the money to get him. The Phillies were also another one. Now, I don't know with all the money that they just threw at Bryce Harper if they'd be willing to spend that. The Yankees, I felt like they addressed their needs this offseason. They went out and added a bunch of pitchers. So I don't think the Yankees, and again, nothing ever surprises me with their payroll that seems unending, but I'd keep an eye on Atlanta, and then Milwaukee was another one I heard that was kind of showing some interest in him. So we'll see, but it is crazy here. I mean, we're less than a month from opening day now. Dallas Keuchel still doesn't have a team.
What about your thoughts on the Mets hiring Jessica Mendoza as an advisor?
It's interesting. When I first heard that, I was like, oh, okay, so she's leaving the broadcast. And they're like, no, she's going to keep doing that. So I got to think it's just kind of like an analyst, like they'll basically call on her, hey, can you do some film work for us while you're in your hotel? Hey, what are your thoughts on this guy? Like, I think it's going to be way more casual than what it sounds like, that
right.
He's joining the front office. And apparently A-Rod, they said, was doing some stuff for the Yankees in the same capacity. So it seems like it's not a really big deal. But I wonder how many people, like, we make fun of the analysts a lot of times and all this, but, you know, there was some real rumblings that Tony Romo was getting some interest from some teams. I wonder how many people – coaches or front office watch these broadcasts and go, God, this guy's a damn good analyst. He would make a really good addition to our staff. Like,
it really
is odd that that's happening now.
Well, I mean, Tony Romo is going to be the odds-on favorite to be the Cowboys' coach here in a season, right? I mean, that's going to happen all year long with Garrett not having a contract. He's got 1 year left.
You know, it's funny. Somebody said he should be the defensive coordinator, and you know, the joke is he doesn't have any experience running a defense, but he sure as hell could diagnose whatever the opposing offenses are doing.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, even if you just have him in the booth sitting next to the defensive coordinator going, hey, look, they're going to run it to the left. I mean, just something like that. I think he'd be an added addition because it's crazy how good he was at predicting the plays this year.
All right, let's wrap it up here with Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790, 1280 in New Orleans. You brought it up, LSU pitching. I didn't have a solution because I said the faster LSU realizes that Zach Hess is not a starter, and I don't think he is, the better off they will be. Now it comes out yesterday, James Rand and Tiger Rag and everyone else telling us that basically he's got one more start to go. It's not my job to come up with a solution. What do you have as a solution? Do you have one? Paul Maneri's
job. Yeah, that's what I've heard too. I mean, this is it for Zach Hess. If he gets rocked by Cal or only last 3 1/3 innings or whatever. Dude, you're not an ace. I'm sorry. I don't know what was promised to you at coming back and not going to the draft and coming back to LSU, but you got to live up to the to what you've been promised. And if he's not doing that, he's got to go sit his butt on the bench and go back to the bullpen. So I think Zach Hess can be serviceable. I think the pressure would be off him if he was, say, the Sunday starter. The problem is they don't have a guy who stepped up to be the ace just yet. I think Landon Marceau will be that down the road, probably next year and the year after that. But this year, he's still got some things to figure out. He really, really struggled in that second inning against Texas on Saturday. So to answer your question, there is no right answer right now. I mean, you cross your fingers, hope to God that Zach Hess goes out there, dominates versus Cal on Friday night. And, okay, you're good to go getting ready for Kentucky next week in the start of SEC play. But if not, man, he's got some real decisions to make. Jaden Hill's banged up right now. You hope he can get back into the rotation. Eric Walker, you'd like to see him go more than just four innings. So there's some big question marks there right now.
Well, I'm going to give him two more starts. We'll see how he does against Cal and Kentucky. But then after that, it will be changed, I think. I think he's going to give him two more starts. Plus, he was coming back from that groin injury, so we'll see. Also, things can change quickly. The Cajuns had over a 5 ERA, and in 1 week they have lowered it to 3.5. So things can change fast. Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790. I appreciate it, my friend. You're not in a palatial hotel suite, are you?
No. I'm just doing my normal work. But I am going to London on Monday.
What's up with that? Kate, you got to Kentucky and Palm Beach. You're doing your show from London?
No.
Manchester United show or something?
Somebody filling in. But this is just a vacation. No work. No
all right,
work
good for you. You deserve it. All right. You deserve it. I appreciate it, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790. What do you think, Cody? How many more starts do you think Zach Hess has? I think he's got two.
Yeah, I mean.
And what constitutes a good start?
I mean, you got to give up. I mean, two runs max, I'd say, and
that's
go at least get into the seventh inning.
That's what I think. Two runs, seven innings. I mean, three runs and six is better, but it ain't great by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
That's a Sunday starter.
Barring him,
that's a midweek starter.
Just completely just blowing this next start on Friday night. As long as he comes out and he looks good, then I say that he's for sure going to get that first Friday night starting SEC. Yeah. And then from there, if LSU starts, you know, behind the eight ball after that first SEC series, then maybe you see some adjustments.
And then Kentucky's that team that's so different at home and on the road. Mm-hmm. Tough to tell. But, again, SEC quality. All right.
I mean, maybe that's what Zach Hess needs. Maybe he needs the SEC hype. Who knows? I mean, not likely, but maybe.
Well, he had the Big 12 hype. All right, we put a bow on it. All right, on a post Mardi Gras Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat, 103.7 The Game. It's you and me forever, Sarah. All right, manager CVS knows me. Riding with the wind came on. Riding like the wind or with the wind? Which one is it? Riding like the wind?
I think it's ride like the wind.
All right, ride like the wind. Yeah. Yacht Rock. 706-0111. That's the Arco Coven Hotline. Again, a lot of sports going on today, tomorrow. We do have STM basketball. That'll be on our sister station, The Rewind, 97.7 and 1330 AM. Again, when STM basketball on a sister station. Sounds better than the Cajuns baseball game. That's an issue, I would think, for them. We'll have LSU on tonight. Florida basketball game against the Tigers. They're also playing Holy Cross, and Mikael Hilliard is on the mound for that. Now that, you can't, you know, no way to get around that. You can only broadcast one at a time. I'm a little bit disappointed the network doesn't have the Saturday game on there, which is a pregame show, 2:30. Game starts at 3 o'clock. Even if the pre- and postgame shows overlap from postgame show baseball to pregame show basketball, what a great way to dominate the airwaves, right? How great would it be to be 2:30 to 10 o'clock, all LSU? I know some people around here don't like that, but that's what we got. But we're not getting a baseball game. A little bit disappointed in that. I'd get it if it was, 7 o'clock No, 5 o'clock baseball game. Same thing happened. Same thing happened, Cody, with the basketball game and the baseball game on your wedding. They overlapped.
Did they?
Yeah. Because the basketball game was starting, you know, two-thirds of the way through the baseball game. Could you imagine if we had the baseball game on, then went to the basketball game, and somewhere with, you know, 5 minutes left to go in the first half, you missed the Cade Beloso jack to win the game? That would be
an oversight,
disappointment.
To say the least.
Yeah, that'd be disappointing. All right. Frustrating. So that's why they don't do it. All right. I mean, but at least that's, you know, what was it, a 3 o'clock game? No. What was that baseball game? Two? It was two. Right? And again, it ended at like 5:12, or else I would have missed the home run. Right? I was getting up to leave. But at least the basketball game was on, you know, at that time. They were overlapping. This one is one after the other.
I guess they're really, really concerned.
Paranoid is the right word.
Yeah, very paranoid that baseball game, like you said earlier, is going to go 18 innings. And then, you know, you can't leave the baseball game in the top of the 14th. Yeah. You got to stay with it. And then basketball starting and not on the network. So, I mean, that's super paranoid, but that's the only logical.
It does have a little rain on Saturday, but that's here. We have a Baton Rouge weather forecast here. And, of course, these things change, you know, on a daily basis. Well, let's see. Baton Rouge, Saturday, p.m. thunderstorms. But I don't know what, you know, 80%, by the way. And then Sunday, down to 40%. So it is supposed to rain. And I don't know what time. 90% Saturday night. But that could be late. No. That could be late. 706-0111, 706-0111, our Cole Equipment Hotline. Let's hear the what's the Twitter poll questions here, Cody? And we didn't really talk about this much. Kyler Murray being taken by the Cardinals, presuming he is, because that's what it appears to be. Charlie Casserly slammed Kyler Murray, say he botched the interviews that he had. At the same time, though, the Cardinals are apparently putting Josh Rosen on the market. And so if Kyler Murray is taken by the Cardinals, who's with their team longer, Kyler Murray or Bryce Harper? 19% say Murray, which is kind of surprising. Harper, 57%, 24% shut up. Based on the last 6 weeks, is there any chance Anthony Davis sees that the grass is not greener on the other side and stays with the Pelicans? 6% say yes. 71% say no. 23% tell me to shut up. All right. Special thanks to Craig Calcaterra from NBC Sports, Chris Blair, Brian Bieniemy, and Chris Gordy. Coming up, it's the rap game with RP3 at 9. Jim Rome Show at 11. The Jordy Holtberg Show featuring Jordy Holtberg. Bummer to Bummer Sports, 4 to 5:30. Pre-game show for LSU basketball at 5:30. And, of course, you do have STM and U-High on our sister station, 97.7, The Rewind. 4:30 pregame show, 4:45 tip-off-ish with Danny Jones and the coach Steve Stroning. Thanks to Cody. Everybody, enjoy the day. Keep it tuned in live and local all day long here. 103.7 The Game.